President Obama has vetoed a bill that greenlights the Keystone XL pipeline. The controversial pipeline would extend from the Canadian oil fields all the way south to the Gulf Coast. And the debate has been long and contentious, both here in the U.S. and in Canada. Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer has been following that debate and more news. He's with us once again. Hello, Vaughn.
Good afternoon, Marcy.
Let's start with the official response. The Canadian government actively lobbied Washington for Keystone. So what was the response to the presidential veto?
Yeah, the Canadian government, province of Alberta, national government felt that Canada had, you know, played the game exactly as the Americans wanted it done, met every test, and still didn't get approval. The reaction, however, I think is best put by the Premier of Alberta, Jim Prentice, who said, disappointed but not surprised. After all, the President had made it quite clear that he didn't regard this as a matter that Congress had the final say on and that he had every intention of vetoing the bill, and he did.
Not all Canadians supported Keystone. I know that there were many anti-pipeline protests. What's your sense of the reaction in Alberta, where many of these oil fields are located?
You know, the funny thing about this is, maybe not funny, is it's gone on for a long, long time. And it's gone on through an entire cycle of oil prices. Prices are down now. The headlines in the province of Alberta, where Canada's oil and gas industry is based, Marcy, is mostly about companies shutting down operations, putting projects on hold, laying people off. Prices being down for oil so much that some projects may not go ahead for several years. As a result, a lot of the urgency of this pipeline is fading. When Canada was pushing this the hardest, it was at a time when prices were high. There was a feeling that Canada was missing out on a very big economic opportunity. The project was going to help the United States become more self-sufficient in oil and gas. Of course, all that's happened anyway. I mean, it's an example, really, of just how the entire industry has been turned inside out. So I would say you'll never get any executives or politicians in this country to admit it, but I would say that in the back of their mind, they're thinking, you know what? It's not such a bad time for this project not to be going ahead. We'll wait till the next big opportunity comes along when prices are better.
Huh. So it's temporarily on the back burner, Keystone, or is it dead?
Oh, it's not dead. No. I mean, there will after the next U.S. election, there will be another attempt to revive it. If oil comes back up to the kind of prices we saw just a few months ago, or certainly a year ago, I think it'll be pushed again. In the meantime, there are plenty of other pipelines. And there's always shipping oil by rail. And I know people in Washington State know something about that with the controversy over the Anacortes refinery, but that's been the default thing even here in Canada is, if you can't get the pipeline built, load up the tank cars and ship it that way. There's nothing stopping the trains from getting through.
Well, it's interesting, given the massive explosion in Quebec and the recent explosion here in the United States, there's a lot of scrutiny on those trains as well, Vaughn.
Yes, there is, and as you will know, some kinds of oil in that regard are more explosive than others. The explosion in Quebec was oil from the Bakken Shale in the Dakotas, and that oil is particularly volatile and subject to this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there's new regulations regarding the shipment of oil in Canada. There's new designs for tank cars, but whatever one says about the ability to prevent pipelines from being built, in general, I think everyone in the industry who's familiar with it would say that a pipeline is a safer way to transport oil than a train car.
I'm talking over news from Canada with Vaughn Palmer of the Vancouver Sun. And switching subjects, Minnesota shoppers in this country were alarmed over the weekend by alert from terror groups that they had the Mall of America and other malls around the world in their crosshairs. I understand a major shopping center in Edmonton was on that list.
Yeah, the other one that was named in the video was the West Edmonton Mall, which for a while was the biggest of its kind in the world, although it's been passed sometime. I think it's still the biggest one in Canada. And again, you've seen, I think, the same reaction in this country. RCMP are aware of the threat. They have spoken to the operators of the mall. They've also advised Canadians that there's no evidence that this group, Somalis based in Africa, have a base of operations in Canada or the resources to pull this off. But, you know, when people start talking about terror attacks in this day and age, you never brush them off completely. You take steps, and that's what's being done here.
Anti-terrorism laws are a subject of a lot of debate here in the United States. How does something like this mall threat affect the conversation in Canada?
Well, again, you know, there's a terrorism headline in the Canadian media every day here because our government is bringing in a tough new anti-terrorism legislation. It's very controversial. There's opposition from particularly the New Democratic Party and from the civil libertarians in Canada to this legislation. They say it goes too far. They're calling for the government to put some checks on security agencies. But this stuff is the public response to this. A lot of this is being driven by the fact we've got a couple of terrorism trials going on in Canada right now, one involving an attempt to set off pressure cooker bombs on Canada Day in front of the BC legislature in 2013, and you had two lone wolf terrorist attacks in Canada last year that killed two members of the Canadian military, one of those attacks on Parliament Hill outside our national parliament. So, you know, governments are responding to public concern. They're taking steps, and of course, critics are also saying government is exploiting these threats and using them to bring through legislation that you couldn't get through in other times because the legislation tramples civil liberties.
Hmm. Well, Vaughn, thank you for taking time to brief us on some of the news in Canada, and we'll talk with you next week.
Talk to you next week, Marcy.
Vaughn Palmer is a columnist for the Vancouver Sun. He joins us every Wednesday on The Record.